God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message is based off of our gospel reading as we hear the account of how an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream. The title of this message is called Joseph's Conversion. Now, I will admit this title might be a little misleading, so let me set the record straight. More than likely, Joseph was probably a very good Israelite. He probably was trained and instructed in the Lord. He believed in the coming Messiah. What he didn't know, at least right as this text begins, is that coming Messiah was inside Mary, who he was pledged to be married to. The reason why we need to call it Joseph's conversion is not because he's making a conversion from an unbeliever to a believer. That was already done by faith previously. But sometimes when we harden our hearts, we need to have another, and I'm using the term conversion. Let's explain it this way. Our human nature is sometimes very strong that we might think what we're doing is perfectly right, and God needs to come and say, wait a minute, it's not. Let me explain it this way with Joseph. Joseph had somehow heard that Mary was pregnant. We don't know exactly how he heard, but somehow he heard. Whether the grapevine finally caught up with him, or maybe Mary had that little baby bump already, and he knew he wasn't the father. So he had in the back of his mind, let's just divorce Mary quietly. And some people thought that that was another way of Joseph saying, you know, I'm not the father here. I won't marry her. And we'll let the real father step forward and marry her. It was also expected. The society and the times, the laws, basically said, if that's not your child, you shouldn't be marrying her. And actually even went so far to say, even if you still love her, don't marry her because it's the man thing to do. Now, I will admit, by today's standards, that just may sound kind of strange. Where's the love? Where's the romance? And the answer is, it's not here. So we now have Joseph who says, okay, let me divorce her quietly. He could have made a big scene about it in which Mary would have been stoned to death, but he chose not to. And the reason why we need to call this a conversion was this was his plan, divorce her quietly. And some of you may know, you know, when some of us guys get a plan in the back of our mind, whether right or wrong, we're going to do it. Unless there is divine intervention. And so here we have the divine intervention that now tells Joseph, this is God's plan. And to be part of God's plan, you need to take Mary home as your wife. Joseph could have said no to God's plan, which almost begs the question, did God have a plan B? He may have, but now we're getting a little speculative, and so I want to stick back to Scripture for a moment and just say that Joseph listened to an angel of the Lord. He listened and obeyed. And I want to call that a conversion? Yeah. Not saying that now he was now a believer and before he wasn't, but there was a softening of the heart. And the reason why I need to be very careful with my words here is because when we typically think of conversion, we usually think of baptism, and rightfully so. Because that is where God touches us, puts his name upon our hearts. We now belong to God. Done deal. Not to be undone, plain, simple, to the point. But God is not done with us either. Yes, that's justification, but now we have to move into the term what we call sanctification. And sanctification is basically that day-to-day living out that faith as one who has been touched by God. Here's the problem. Now we need to cooperate with God for the sanctification to take place. So we could say no to God, We can say no to his love, we can say no to his forgiveness, and we don't have to share that love and forgiveness. But God says he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, so he wants us to be that loving, forgiving person. But what happens when our sinful nature says, no, I want to be stubborn today? It doesn't quite say it that way, but I think you get my point. So let's go back to Joseph as a good teaching point here. Joseph would have been 100% right in divorcing Mary. Actually, by society standards, he would have been wrong to take her home as his wife. Now the conversion. Now he takes her home. What's changed? God has softened his heart. For us, this is a very important concept. Because we need to realize that even though we've been baptized, even though God's name is placed upon us, we also have very similar, and I want to use a phrase, self-righteousness or self-righteous ideas within us. Those ideas look like this. Everyone thinks and knows that what I'm about to do is 100% correct. But God says, wait a minute. I want you to consider this. Consider a moment what happens when we hold on to grudges. And why do we hold on to grudges? Don't we hold on to grudges because we know we're right and we also know the other person's wrong? That's what Joseph was going through. He knew he was right. He was not the father of this child. But God said, you're going to have a change of plans here. Because this is the Holy One who is to be born. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And then he followed. But what happens with us as Christians when we hang on to our grudges because we know we're right, we know the other person's wrong, but now God's word cannot be conveyed to the other person because of the grudge? We have now put ourselves in a position between us and God. And so is there sometimes in our lives when our own self-righteousness appears where we're going to have to sit there and say, I think I need to yield so that God's love and mercy may be able to work through me? Hey, that sounds kind of biblical. Isn't this what God does for us? God knows we're wrong. God knows we've screwed up. God knows that, yes, I have sinned and fallen short of God's glory each and every day. I deserve eternal death and damnation. But who is it that yields? Not only does God yield, he says, I'm going to take on flesh and blood. I'm going to take that punishment that you deserve, Pastor Bala, and I'm going to die and suffer so that you can be free. Talk about yielding. And since Christ can do that for me, can I not do the same for other people? My sinful nature will sit there and say, no, well, I'm right. But God says, wait a minute. What about that love? What about that forgiveness? During the time of Advent, this is a time of preparation. And how do we prepare ourselves is by looking into our hearts and realizing, yes, we need a Savior. Yes, we're not perfect. And yes, even my own self-righteousness comes forward. And this is where I need the help of God, divine intervention. I need God to come into my life and say, Pastor Bala, yes, you're a sinner. Get rid of the self-righteousness. Show that love. That forgiveness that I have shown to you. It sounds easy enough, but it is so challenging, isn't it? We might sit there and say, well, Joseph had it easy. The Lord appeared to him. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Well, let me be honest. If I had a dream like that, I probably would have chalked it up to maybe too many jalapeno peppers on my burrito last night. How many opportunities does God give us? It may not come in the form of a dream, but how many sermons have we heard being proclaimed from this pulpit? How many times have we heard the pastor proclaim the forgiveness of sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How many times have we kneeled at this altar of the Lord to receive Christ himself, body, blood, bread, and wine, for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith? How many more messages do we still need to hear? Like Joseph, we need to undergo a conversion. The Holy Spirit needs to soften our hearts because of our own self-righteous acts, thoughts, and deeds. So we come to the conclusion of this time of Advent in preparation. And if you've been thinking to yourselves, the last few sermons have been a little hard, that's part of the season. Because we need to be prepared, because our King is coming. Christ indeed is coming again. Yes, we'll be celebrating his birth later on this week, but we know at any moment Christ may come. And part of that preparation is coming before our Lord and Savior and saying, yes, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Yes, Lord, help me put down my self-righteous thoughts. Yes, Lord, forgive me. And is there forgiveness for people who sit there time and time again, sinning, disobeying, when the message of God is perfectly clear? Their answer is, I hope so. I know so. Because I'm also in that same position, where the Lord says, yes, Pastor Bala, your sins are forgiven. Even sins of self-righteousness? The answer is yes. Even when I know better and I should be teaching better, the answer is yes. There's also forgiveness for you. When we also have failed to show that love and mercy, when we have allowed our own self-righteousness to get in the way of God's gospel, reaching out to all nations, reaching out to all people, and using us as tools and instruments to do so, yes, our sinful nature is strong. There are many barriers in this world, and we are one of them. So we come before our Lord and Savior during this blue season of Advent, reminding ourselves that, yes, I need that love. I need that forgiveness. I need that same conversion that Joseph had. He heard the word of the Lord through an angel. You're hearing the word of the Lord being proclaimed to you from the Gospels, the Old Testament, from your pastor, and then receiving Christ himself, the Word becoming flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, you will receive when you receive the Lord's Supper. Yes, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. We know he is coming, and we ask the Lord to continue to soften our hearts, to keep us in his grace, and to keep us pointed with the assurance that Christ is coming again. For he is Emmanuel, God with us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.